We are looking at the basic principle of Christian living from Colossians 3:1-4. The passage reads this way, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above." This is a very different thing from seeking a standard of living that you see from the people around you. "Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection, or your mind, on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." Well, I find it interesting, Paul gave God's emphasis on Christian living in his epistles. He has a pattern that he often follows, and that is he deals with the doctrine, and he sets that before you. Here is what you are to believe, what God has said about God, about sin, about self, about life. And then about halfway through, he says, "Therefore, since I've told you all of this, apply it like this." In fact, in Romans 12, after his discussion of the doctrines of salvation, he begs the believers to present their bodies a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. President Dennis was emphasizing this when he was talking about Adoniram Judson, giving himself truly a living sacrifice. And that is, my life is yours. I take my hands off. I lay it down for you. But here to the Colossians, he begins after his first two chapters of doctrine and trying to correct them from people that were leading them astray, he begins with the essential principle of Christian living. I propose to you this: to grow in your Christian life, you need to see yourself in the light of the completed work of Christ, rather than in the light of the incomplete work of your current earthly experience. Don't be discouraged, in other words, with the progress or lack of it that you see in your life right now. But put your eye upon the goal that God has for you and will accomplish for you. See yourself in the light of the completed work of Christ. Now, how are we to do that? How are we to see ourselves beyond the facts? Look, facts are facts. Things are the way they are. I am what I am. How are we to look beyond that? My friend, it's by faith. Look by faith at our present identity with Christ, and with that, our future glory with him. So let me put it this way, to follow the scripture. Number one, see yourself as beyond earthly things. This is, get a vision of yourself as beyond earthly things. I'm beyond that. It is a fact of human life that Pastor Porter has brought this out in his analysis of understanding people saying, "I only go by proof." He says, well, there's two things you can prove, two things that you can know are true. One is you think, because that happens internally. You know that to be true. And the second thing is you perceive. You sense things. That's it. That's all you know. That's all that is proofed, you see. Everything else, you have to take with a grain of faith. You have to suppose that what you're perceiving actually exists out there. You've had realistic dreams where you were experiencing things that didn't actually happen. I remember a dream so vivid that when I woke up, I felt that it had happened and that I was worried about it and that type of thing. Didn't really happen. It was a perception that didn't connect to reality. Any of you have seen the movies on The Matrix, you know, they were experiencing life and they were curled up in a pod with wires attached to their spine. It was all a mental image. So, we do not deal directly with the outside world. That's the fact. We only deal with what we perceive of the outside world through our senses. That means something. That means that your dealing with reality is that you have built a map of what reality is, and you are interacting through that map. But as we all know, the map is not the same as the terrain. You know, I didn't get from here to there by walking my fingers across the map. So the guy was talking about he had a map of the city that was a one-to-one correspondence, but he could never open it up because it was the same size as the whole city. You know, we don't have maps like that. The point of a map was, and a guy was talking about pulling into the gas station and pulling up this inflatable globe and say, excuse me, can you tell me how to get here? You know, point to the globe. It'd be very difficult to do. The thing is that we have a map of the way things are, and that's how we understand life. That is not necessarily the way it actually is. If our map is limited, then you have limited your options. The people that say, well, these are the facts are the facts, the facts are the facts. No, actually, the facts are what you think the facts are, and you're dealing with it like that. God sees the reality. He made the reality. He sees the reality. And through His Word, we can understand beyond our ability to perceive. Our perceptions are limited. Our eyes can't see the whole entire wavelength of light. We can't hear above or below the normal sound of the hearing range. We don't even have the the smell of the dogs and I guess the grizzly bear, one of the top people of all the people, the top ability to smell. And we don't have that. Even our touch, there are things, we just get used to things, you know, like air pressure pressing on you, whatever that is, pounds per square inch on you right now. But you don't notice because we're just used to it. You're probably not even thinking about the pressure of sitting on the pew right now, unless it's painful for you, and then you're thinking about it. But the point is, we just get used to these things. I was destroyed for about a week as I was a young person, reading the Peanuts comic strip where the guy says, I've become aware of my tongue. The rest of the week, I felt my tongue laying against my teeth, you know. We get used to that. We don't experience it. It's just the map of the reality that we deal with. The fact is, before you receive Jesus as your Savior, you were cut off from the spiritual world. You did not bring that into your map of reality. Now that you are saved, you have more information that needs to be fed into this map and expand that map so that you are aware of options, aware of how you were limited before. In verses 1 to 3, in the first part of verse 3, he says this, if ye then be risen with Christ, and he speaks of salvation in that term, seek those things which are above, and by above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Not only seek, but set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for you're dead. This is why, you see. Well, notice then with me, according to the Word of God, open your map of reality to this. You have a risen condition. This is that basic principle of the Christian life, the risen condition. If ye then be risen with Christ. In other words, if you are saved. This is, in the Greek, called a first-class condition, assumed for the purpose of the writing, is true. Then, if ye then be risen with Christ, that's the word that's normally translated therefore. We were taught in Bible school that when you come to the therefore, find out what it's there for. And so therefore means, since I've just said what I've said before, now. And like I mentioned, he's going back to the doctrine that he dealt with earlier. But with this particularly, he's looking back to his earlier discussion of the false doctrines that taught we were not complete. He says, he's going to say, you are complete. But he says, you were taught differently. That restricted your map of reality. Let's look at two passages from chapter 2, verses 6 to 10. He says, as ye have therefore received Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk ye in him. If you've received Christ, act like it. Walk in him, not in the secular world as you learned it, you see. How were you in him? Rooted and built up in him. The picture of the plant rooted and of the building founded, you see, in him. So established in the faith as ye have been taught, then abounding therein with thanksgiving, bursting forth, growing with thanksgiving, thanking him for what he's done, for how he has changed you. Beware lest any man spoil you. The King James margin here explains spoil. Make a prey, or seduce you, or lead you astray. And how would they do that? Through philosophy, man's way of thinking, vain deceit, just empty deception, after the tradition of men. You see, there's that limited world map that the world has, the Greek philosophy. They tried to understand all kinds of things, but they had no idea of Jehovah God. So they want to apply that to you, but you're beyond that. You're just beyond that. After the rudiments, this is the word that means elements, just elementary things of the world, not after Christ. You see, you have expanded your understanding to heaven and hell and God and man. You're well beyond this rudimentary thinking, this elementary thinking. Not after Christ. The things of the world, not after Christ. And here's his statement, verse 9. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You are in him. You were saved in him. You're rooted and grounded in him. And in him is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Therefore, 10, you are complete in him. You're a finished work in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Part of the false doctrine that they were dealing with were people that were talking about angelic beings and spirit beings that could help them and do all this stuff. We're hearing it all today in the New Age movement. But he says, you don't need any of that. Everything spiritual that you need, you are complete in him. So the traditions of men are spiritually ignorant. They don't know these things. They can't experience them, so they don't know them. They have not read the Word of God, so they never had those thoughts enter their mind. Do not limit your option of life by adopting the life ideals of the lost. Be careful what you take in, what you accept as a path of life. Another passage, just a little further down, Colossians 2, 12 to 14. Talking about us again, he says, buried with him in baptism, by the very image of it, wherein ye also are risen with him through the faith of the operation of Christ. Raised from the dead. This is that picture that he's making. You are raised, you are the raised condition. Who hath raised him from the dead? God, doing the same work, has raised you. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened. He made alive together with him. He raised you with him. He raised you with Christ, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Consider life without the domination of sin. Consider your life, see your life with the liberty of resurrection life. You were resurrected with Christ. That's what it says. You say, I didn't feel that way. Well, that's because it's not a thing of feeling. It's a thing of faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. It's not what you've experienced. It's what God says happened. You were resurrected with Jesus. You were merged with him. God sees you as in him. Paul's always talking about Christian as in Christ, in him. God emphasized our identity with Christ in some of the other churches. Let me read those to you. See, this is not an isolated idea. Romans 6, 4 and 5. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. As he was resurrected and walked in a new kind of life, because his entire resurrection body was a glorified body, we are even to walk in newness of life. We can share in that. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his flesh, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. See, we have entered into him, and that newness of life that he experienced, we can experience spiritually. Romans 6, 9 through 11. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye, account you, think of yourself, also yourselves, to be just like that, to be dead indeed unto sin, and alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, this is it. It's not dealing with these facts that the world has fed you. This is looking at, by faith, and reckoning it true of you, what God says is true. He deals with it again in Galatians, chapter 2, 19 to 20. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. How could that be? Well, that's what God did. He put you into Jesus. Jesus was crucified, you're crucified. Jesus was resurrected, you were resurrected. Jesus was ascended to the heaven and sat at the right hand of God, so have you. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, here on planet Earth, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me, gave himself for me. Living by faith, living by the facts that God has told me, not by just what I see and hear and feel and touch. And then the parallel verses in Ephesians, Colossians and Ephesians are often talk about some of the same things. Ephesians 2, 5 and 6. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, made us alive, together with Christ, by grace, or by whose grace ye are saved, and then hath raised us up together, after our resurrection we were ascended together, and made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You see, where what has happened to Christ has happened to us spiritually because we were put in him. We were baptized into him spiritually. God counts his death for sin to count for us. We died, we're resurrected, we're raised to heaven, are seated with Christ. Does it get any more secure than that? Now, that's the risen condition. And this idea of gaining it by seeking, by envisioning it, is the right command. Let's look at the right command. He defines it like this: seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Romans 1, verse 20. You say, I can't see heaven. Well, that's okay. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are, or that they may be, without excuse. All right, bring up that verse, Romans 1:20.
I don't have it on here.
Oh, is that right? How did I miss that? All right. Here's the point of it. See the invisible things. See it right there. It's on the screen. That's the invisible things. Romans 1:20. My point is, this is all by faith. You see it not by your actual eye perception, but by, dare I say, intuitively, putting it all together and seeing it. How did this creation occur? Do we have 2 Corinthians 4:18? Did I add that in afterwards?
318.
Well, okay, I'll get to that. But 4:18, 2 Corinthians 4:18, while we look not at the things which are seen, looking not at the things that are seen, you see that paradox? But at the things which are not seen. That's the thing, see. This is walking by faith. For the things which are seen are temporal. They're passing away, things of time. But the things which are not seen are eternal. He says, I want you to fix your eyes on the things you can't see, the things that are eternal, the things that are everlasting in the heavenlies. I want you to envision that which you cannot perceive in your own life. That's 2 Corinthians 4:18 for those of you taking notes. So the verse that is up there is the key to this thing. God commands the positive to combat the negative. This isn't stop doing bad things, stop doing bad things. What does that focus on? Bad things. What is the focus? Look to the good. Direct your soul toward heaven. Earthly good works do not mold us into holiness. That's not how you get to holiness, by doing good works. The heavenly things on which you focus change you. It's where you set your goal. It's what you're looking toward. And here's the verse. But we all, opposed to the Jews who were blinded, we all with open face, beholding as in a glass. And this word always means mirror. Beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. If you look in the mirror, what are you seeing? You're seeing yourself, if you're straight in front of it. But what are you seeing by faith? The glory of the Lord. And when you do that, what happens? You are changed into the same image from glory to glory. Well, how does that happen? Even by the Spirit of God, by the Lord the Spirit. It's a spiritual thing. It's a supernatural thing. You focus on Him, you are made into His glory. There's an old story about the person who wanted to lose weight. So they took a picture of themselves looking as fat as possible, and they put it on the refrigerator, just to shame them every time they went to the refrigerator for a snack. And that put them in the mindset that that's how they looked. That's who they were. They never really lost any weight. Somebody else took their head and put it on the top of, I don't know, some supermodel or something, put it on the refrigerator, and began to see themselves in that way, and they began to lose weight because that's the way that person would eat, you see. And God made our mind this way, that we can focus on something and move toward that. Let me summarize all of the get-rich-quick books that you can ever possibly read. Think about being rich and you'll get rich. That's it. Make it a focus of your life. And God made us this way. You may change the way you see yourself. Looking above provides a better message to tell yourself. Seeing yourself as God makes you feel better about yourself. Look around. If life stinks, move from the garbage to the garden of flowers. If your life is sour and bitter, drink in God's future, which is sweet and savory. Number one, keep seeking to obtain the things above. Keep seeking. It's present tense. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. To live consistently as sons of God, let the heavenly virtues in the spiritual life dominate your thinking. Make that the set of thoughts in your mind. Philippians 4:8. I asked my son John when he was still a teenager what his favorite verse was. This was it. He's always been a positive-minded person. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, search that reality map of yours. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest or venerable, worthy of honor, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. And here's the summary. If there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Let this be the thing that dominates your thinking. You know why people are going crazy? Why listening to all the problems of the world? How the world's going to hell, see? And if that's the center of your thinking, no wonder you're going crazy. Peter says, 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen generation. Who are you from God's point of view? You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar or purchased people. You are God's own people. That, for the purpose that you should show forth the praises, and this word can mean virtues, of Him. You showing forth His virtues, who hath called you out of darkness unto His marvelous light. Again, 2 Peter 1:3. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things, see how complete you are, all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to, or called us by, glory and virtue. 2 Peter 1:5, besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith, your basic salvation, add virtue, and to virtue, knowledge. Don't think the first step is to learn it all. The first step is to try to be it all and then learn your knowledge to help you get there. Envision yourself in this way. Number two, keep setting your mind on the things above. This is the life of being distracted into the nasty now and now, instead of the blessed then. Set your affection on things above. Present tense, continual sense. Keep setting your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. The things of the earth you have to pay attention to, or you get run over. But keep focusing. Continually redirect your thoughts and attentions toward the goal of things above. Here's the verses. Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Put first things first. Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transformed. Renew your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 7:27, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, Paul says, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Where it was his choice, he served the law of God. 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down imaginations. This is the word for reasonings. And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, what you've learned from the word of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Isolate the wrong thoughts. Exile them. Bring in those positive thoughts of what he's going to be doing with you. Ephesians 4:23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now, let me take the time just to say the wrong command. What is the wrong command? Here's an interlude of warning. Number one, it seems reasonable. Preachers often present the basic principle of Christian living as law-keeping. Here's the law. Meditate on laws that you're to do, and then just do them. I'm having a problem. You're not doing right enough. That's it. This fosters the concept, do holy things to become holy. It seems rational, but it's a rationality based upon the thinking of men. It's wrong. This is the religious world's way of thinking. It's just wrong. Unsaved people do actions that seem holy. Your problem is getting saved. Your problem is being like Christ, not correcting the things you do. As an unsaved person, you can correct a lot. You can make all the personal resolutions, New Year's resolutions you want, and change the actions, change the habits, and you're no better off spiritually. Unsaved people do actions that seem holy. Proverbs 21:4, an high look, a proud heart, things that God hates, and the plowing of the wicked is sin. What's wrong with plowing? No, it's the person doing it, you see. We must become holy inside before our actions can take on before God the consideration of holy character. Matthew 7, Christ brings out this principle. Matthew 7:17-18. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. See, I revamped my message and didn't change my PowerPoint. Every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but if you're an unsaved, corrupt tree, you bring forth evil fruit, no matter what you think it looks like. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. And Christ points this out, Matthew 7:21-23. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. It's not a matter of just talking this way. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Do you have the power to do it? See, that's the real question. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? That was their claim. He doesn't dispute it. He says, then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Not about your works. It's about you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. All those good things, he says, just iniquity, another bad fruit from another bad tree. So it seems reasonable, but it comes from Reformation teaching. Many of the old-time writers of Christian literature strongly preached holiness as law-keeping. They believed the church was the new Israel under the Ten Commandments as a way of life. Today, Jay Adams, in his counseling, counsels the changing of the habits of the sinful flesh. How do you get better? You change the habits of the sinful flesh. These people are reformed in their doctrine. They believe that man is made up of only a body and soul. And if the soul got saved, then what's wrong? Must be the body. So now you just have to retrain the body. That's what that counseling is all about. We believe that man is made of body, soul, and spirit. At the moment of receiving Jesus, God saved your spirit. It's completely done. You're complete in him. But now, your soul, which means your mind, your will, your emotions, that has to be reworked. That has to be changed. That has to be saved. So, set your affection on things above. This word affection means to feel or think. See? To feel or think. That's the function of the soul. God wants us to focus our mind, our will, our emotions on what? On the things above. You're not looking at the bad things that you ought not to do. You're looking at what Christ is making you. All right, let's leave that. I just warn you about that. Don't swallow all of that whole. It's not the way of God. Point D, the change. For ye are dead. What has changed this? Well, you died. You died. This is literally you died. It's aorist, one time in the past, active indicative. It describes a single action completed in the past. Not a present state. Not you are now presently dead. It's that you died. There was a time when you died. You were alive, then you died. When you received Jesus, God incorporated you into Jesus. He incorporated you into his death. That's when you died. He died because that was the wages of sin. Now that counts for you. Romans 6:2, God forbid, how shall we that are dead? Also, aorist, active indicative. How shall we that died to sin live any longer therein? Colossians 2:20, wherefore if ye be dead, also aorist, active, indicative. Wherefore if you died, Christ, from the rudiments or elements of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Why do you keep obeying these laws as if that's going to make a difference for you? You died. You died to all that. Let me quickly end this. Roman number 2 is this. See yourself as revealed in glory. Not only see the virtues of Christ, that now you are in Christ, but see yourself as revealed in glory. Verses 3 and 4. Your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Two things here. One, the situation before his revelation, before Christ reveals himself, and your life is hid with Christ in God. You are all that you will be, but is now hidden. You see? This is the way we are now. I know what this is like. I know the frustration of falling back into sin. I understand the difficulty of coming to God again to confess my sins. I've seen my lack of faith. I've heard the Bible condemning my lack of faith. I have felt the dread of Christ's return, standing before his judgment seat in the stink of my poor achievements, tasting the bitter pill of my poor image of Jesus Christ. As I sense who I am aware of how far short I fall. It's just hidden in him. It's the way we are now. 1 John 3, 2a, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. I can't look in that mirror and see me and change it into Jesus. I have to look in that mirror and see Jesus and allow that to change me. And so, the situation before the revelation, how about the time of the revelation when Christ, who is our life, shall appear? See, this is who we are now, hidden, but the time is coming, coming a day when all that will change. If I can just take that picture of me standing in the glory of Jesus, put that image into my mind during the day's activities, it changes me. After the rapture, we will return to earth with Jesus to conquer Satan, establish his kingdom. We will have our glorified bodies. I want you to see yourself then. The radiance of God, part of you. Hear the amazements of the people of earth as they experience you. Who are these angels, they'll say. Oh, it's just me. Feel your spiritual power to do whatever your spirit longs to do. 2 Corinthians 3:18, But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image. Titus 2:13, Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Looking for that blessed hope and the appearance of the glory of the great God and of our Savior Jesus Christ. That's when he appears in glory. We are changed into the same image. This is you. Who are the people of the revelation? Who is he talking about here? That then shall ye also appear with him. This is you. This is you. And then finally, the nature of the revelation in glory. Can I just picture it for you? Can I allow that vision of the things above? Like the glory of the angels is shown in bright garments. Like Jesus emerging from the tomb. Psalm 17:15. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Looking like Jesus. Matthew 13:43. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Adjust your reality map. Hear this. 2 Corinthians 4:17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Philippians 3:21. Who shall change our vile body, that's what you've been seeing in the mirror, getting all discouraged, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, a body of glory, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. How could he do that? He can do anything. 1 John 3, 2b, the second part. We know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. We shall see him as he is. Here's my conclusion. What allows you to grow in your Christian faith is this goal vision of yourself in the light of the completed work of Christ. What chokes out your growth in Jesus is a faith-limiting vision of yourself in the light of your incomplete development. Grant that you're not there yet. But that's where he's taking you. Paul urged the Romans to present their bodies a living sacrifice. He urged the Colossians to adopt this essential principle of Christian living. Practice living now as you will be in the time to come. Let's pray. Father, we are very aware of our limitations. But Father, we don't want to live adopting those limitations as our only path. We ask that you might help us to redirect our thinking, to increase our understanding of reality, our map of reality, and recognize that everything changed when we got saved. We were taken into Jesus Christ. We are in him. He told Saul of Tarsus that he was persecuting him because he is one with us. Now I ask, Father, that as we imagine Christ and as we recognize we have been brought into him, that we need to look into that mirror and see the glory of Christ. We will not see it with our eyes, but we need to look at the invisible, the things that are eternal. We need to see ourselves through the filter of eternity, of who we will always be. And then, Father, work that into us. Help us to change into that image from glory to glory, from his glory to our glory of a victorious life. With heads bowed, eyes closed, just between you and the Lord. Being a good Christian, has it become a difficult drudgery to you? All those laws that you haven't been able to keep, all that perfection you haven't been able to reach? Stop trying to get there that way. Set your affection, your mind, your will, your emotions on the things above. See him changing you. See you in him. Let's pray. Father, we dedicate ourselves to becoming conformed to the image of Christ, and more than just law keeping, to the very image of Christ. You have taken us into him. That was the plan of salvation, your plan of salvation. And now we have the opportunity to become him on this earth, to be glorious in our spirituality. People might see him in us. But Father, we need to envision it. We need to see it. We need to act as though it were true. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.